morning, guys. So I just want to open with prayer. I got a lot on my heart, and I hope it's not all over the place, but I'm going to try and tie it all in. And just, Holy Spirit, we need your help. Every one of us, we got to have you. Come and have your way and open hearts and eyes, minds and souls and spirits, Lord. Come and fill us with the truth and with understanding that we might know you and that we might just grow in who we are and see you a little bit more clearly and have great friendship with you and fellowship with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So I want to bear with me because I feel like I'm all weepy, but I get like this a lot. But I've just been thinking about some things throughout the week. I've been working my new job. As you guys know, I've been working a job where I go all over the state and service fire extinguishers and fix exit lights, stuff like that. And I just have like amazing opportunities with people everywhere, every single day. And it's crazy because like we live in, I don't want to say like corner, but we do live in like a corner of the world, although the earth is round. But like we have like our little lives and like there's still so much going on everywhere. And God is thinking about everybody. What we were talking about, I was talking about this with somebody yesterday. Like, it's crazy that like there are billions of people in the world and God is like thinking about all of them. Is that me? Good. And like, he's thinking about all of them and he wants to lift men's burdens. He doesn't want men to be weighed down and to be squashed by life because life is supposed to be a gift. He wants men to excel. And I don't necessarily mean in like in nickels and dimes, like money sense, although that too, but he wants men to excel in life, like to be the best version that he can be, to be a blessing to everyone around them. And I was just thinking about, it's something that actually Will often says whenever we like have like deep talks about the Lord and stuff like that. He'll always ask about like Joshua 1:8 and 1:9. And I was thinking about that. And it says like this book of the law, it's Joshua talking to the Israelites after Moses has passed and he's been elected the new leader. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. And it's something that is like, it's crazy. Like, the success rate of Jesus is 100%. I was thinking about this while we're worshiping. Like, you ever like read about like medications or surgeries or whatever it is? Like, there's like certain success rates, like 89% success rate or this and that. And like, the success rate of Jesus is like, it's perfect. Like, the perfection of Jesus is incredible if you think about it. His perfection covers every aspect of who he is. So like the faithfulness of God is more, you can stand on it more than you can stand on the surety of your job. I can't even explain it, but like I get it in my heart. Like the goodness of God is solid rock. As opposed to everything that we as humans think is like sturdy, like, oh, if I take this job or, oh, if I do this, like, you know, like I'm strengthening myself, I'm building on something. But and in reality, I'm not saying anything against that, but I'm saying like in reality, the goodness of God is what, yeah, that's a good point, is what's really rock solid. It's what's really sturdy. It's something that'll never be broken down. It'll always last. Jesus says, he who hears these words and of mine and does them is like a man who built his house on the rock. I want to be that person. We ought to be that person who has like a rock solid house, impenetrable, unmoved, unshaken, not broken down. Like we have this amazing opportunity. I was talking to Paola about this recently, like just thinking about like how good God is. And sometimes these thoughts just come to my head and I was saying like, I want to write a psalm. You know, the way like if you read the psalms, it's just like random thoughts from David about how good God is, but it's combined into a thing. But if you think like every now and again, I have this thought. And one of them that I wrote down is just like, we've been blessed more than any man could ever ask for. Like if we would get in here and read this and get a hold on it, we've been blessed more than any person could ever ask for. Like spiritually blessed, like it says in Ephesians, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. I walk around and I think about like, what does that mean? Like, what does that mean? Like in my spirit, because what God has done in giving us his spirit, like we're so blessed that everything we ask, God wants to answer. Every, like all the heavenly thoughts, all the word that's in here, God wants to fulfill and do through us and make an impact through us. And I was reading even just this morning, I was just flipping through my Bible to get to something and it passed somewhere in, I think it's Joshua or Jeremiah, where it says like, all that the Lord had said he would do with Israel, he did. And he was like, he was faithful. And yeah. And I was thinking about that, like along with what I just said, like the perfection of who God is above everything else. Like everything you've ever heard God speak to you, he's going to do. Everything he's ever said in his word, if you'd sit there and just live there, he's going to do it. And maybe it's like healing, or maybe it's whatever, somebody in your life that you care about, and you've prayed for them 9,000 times, but the 9,001st time they're going to get saved. And I'm just like, it's crazy, because if we just bank on that, if we just really like grit our teeth and, you know, like, God, I'm not going to leave here. Like the word, I saw it so clearly. Like it doesn't have anything to do with the soil. He never even mentions that. All he says is like, keep watering and sowing and listening to what I'm saying. Keep your ear tight and tuned onto what I'm saying, and you're going to reap a harvest in due time. And as Christians, like we have such a privilege to do that. We have such an availability to take this word and to run after it, to take this word and to continue in it. You know, in Hebrews 8, it's something that I really love. Like it says that the reason that the first covenant was faulty was not because God was unfaithful. It's because people didn't continue believing what he had said they would do, what he was going to do. That's crazy. Like all that they had to do was continue believing God. I was actually at a friend's housewarming party last night, and I was talking to a good friend of mine about this very thing. And like the Israelites watched God split a sea down the middle. And then days later, they were in the wilderness for 40 years. So maybe days or years, it doesn't specifically say, but they made a golden cow and were worshiping a cow. Like, how could you watch a sea split down the middle and then forget God? But then this person was talking about like, well, that's true. But how about like, he was talking about how when God sent the quail, it says that they like piled up to 6 feet high. And I'm not going to read it, but it's in there somewhere. And I was thinking, like, how could you watch God pile up quail so you can have food every day and then turn your back on him? And I was thinking, like, man, we still do that, though. Like, we still do that. Like, we haven't learned the lesson that they struggled with. And as Christians, like, we have this opportunity to not do that, to actually, like, remember God's faithfulness and continue in that covenant. To be like, I remember when God did this. And I know that he's going to do it again. That's actually what started the conversation, was there was somebody playing a guitar, singing that song in their house, the Elevation song, Do It Again. And it's something that I've thought about since the first time I've heard that song, is like, if all the Israelites had to do was, when they got to the wilderness and were struggling, was just like, wow, we remembered when God split the sea, he's going to do it again right here because we're in trouble again. Like if all they had to do is have that slight attitude, and like imagine the diff, they would have been in the wilderness for 40 days, according to what the Bible says. But like, it's crazy. Like we need to have that attitude. We need to dwell on the goodness of God and sit in the presence of the Lord and really get to know him. You know, I was thinking about 1 Corinthians, I think it's 1 Corinthians 2. Like we've been given the privilege, the pleasure, the ability, whatever you want to call it, the great invitation to know the mind of God and to know God, who God is. It says, what man knows the spirit of man except the spirit which is in him? So who can know the spirit of God except by the spirit of God? And we've been given that spirit. Like we as Christians have the opportunity to know who God is, to know how he thinks, to know what he thinks, to know his heart, his ways, his plans, his version of how to live life and success and all of what that looks like. And what are we doing with that? You know, like what are we doing with that opportunity that we've been given? I was thinking about this, and I really was thinking about it more in detail for probably the second time ever while we were worshiping today. And it's overwhelming for me. So if you can't understand it, just say that again. But like, if I was to take Ansu and just pressure her really hard, like whatever it was, like overwhelm her with a lot of work, overwhelm her with a lot of like, can you do this? Can you do that? If I was to squeeze Ansu with everything that from every angle, eventually, like the true her would come out. She'd either explode and be great or explode and be like, I can't take it anymore, leave me alone. So why don't you just take Jesus and squeeze him until he comes out? You know, I was thinking about like, why don't you just take God's word and squeeze it until you get every drop of who he is out of it? It's crazy. That's nuts. I don't know what to say. It's so amazing. Like, we have this opportunity. We have this opportunity. It's been given to us. Like, Peter says it, like, to them, it's been given to you and your children. It's not for anybody else. And I don't, like, by that, I mean it's for everybody. But, like, if you adhere to that, it's for you. Would you just take what you hear in here and push it to the limit? Like, well, God, I haven't seen this, so I'm gonna push it a little harder. Like maybe even praying for something specifically or praying for someone or just, I like to pray for healing. I don't always see people get healed, but what if you just take it and go nuts with it? Then what? Like I started with like the perfection of God. Like it's settled, you know, like in Psalms, it often says that very phrase, like your word is settled. Like it's already decided. David has these like exclamations of faith. It's crazy. Like he's just like, your perfectness, your soundness, your beauty, it's already done. Like it's already decided. It's set in stone forever. You're the most amazing. You're the most holy. You're the most beautiful. He says that all throughout the Psalms. And like he couldn't even see it fully. And he was saying that. And we have the opportunity to see it fully. And I was thinking about in Timothy, I actually marked it for once. In Timothy, it says, in Timothy, 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, and in purity. It says youth because Paul is writing to Timothy, and Timothy's younger than Paul, but it's for everyone. So he's talking about like being an example and walking this thing out and like really going after Jesus, because if you read Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit are some of these things that it's talking about. And so he's not just talking about doing something. He's talking about being something. So he's talking about like you need to hear the word of the Lord, but you need to spend time with God so that way God can make that word your reality. And so he's saying, do not let no one despise you, but be an example to everyone around you in these things, in purity, in holiness, in faith, in love. And so he's inviting Timothy or inviting us into this amazing relationship to seek out God till these things are a reality where we're setting the example with our lives. And then he goes on, it says, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which is given to you by prophecy with the laying on of hands of the eldership. Meditate on these things. Now he's talking about what he just said. Meditate on these things and give yourself entirely to them so that your progress may be evident to all. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them. Continue in them. For in doing this, you will save both yourself and those who hear you. So the more you seek Jesus, the more you go after this, the more you read your Bible and ask Holy Spirit to come and make it a reality and just to be friends with him, the more everyone around you is going to get saved. The more you think like God and it causes other people to think like God. The more you act like God and it causes other people to act like God. And it's just like a chain effect. And I was thinking, like, how powerful is that? We don't know the outcome, only God does. But there's somebody from Bethel who's running for Congress. His name is Sean Foy. I think it's really awesome. Most of us know who that is if you listen to Bethel music. But something I hope and pray that he makes it in. But something I've thought about is, if he makes it in, there's going to be so many people who rise up and do the same thing, because for the first time, they're going to have permission to do it, because they're going to say, wow, I wanted to do that, but I was afraid to do that. But because he did it, I can do it, because he's just an average dude. And I was thinking, like, if we walk that way every day, so many people will, like, rise up and just live a different life. Like, if you dare to go after Jesus to the point where you got what it says you can have, then other people say, man, if he can have it, then I can have it. Because the only thing different about him is I'm not pursuing it the way he's pursuing it. Or her. The only thing different about her is I'm not going after it the way he's going after it. And it's such like a crazy thing in my heart. I don't even know how to explain it. But we have been given this invitation through the life that Jesus lived. You know, like Jesus was perfect. And I was thinking about this, like, Jesus walked perfect because he was perfect, but Jesus walked perfect because he had you in mind. You know, like everything he did with you in mind. What if you walked through your day and everything you did with other people in mind? Like just my job, I was mentioning earlier, like so many different things happened on Friday. I got to pray for a whole bunch of different people, and the one lady was like, how do you know this about me? My father died recently, my boyfriend commits suicide, all this crazy stuff. And I'm thinking, like, God just wants to, like, lift burdens off of people. That's it. So they're not, like, weighed down and focused on something which isn't important, because the reason that we're here is to be the light of the world. And so, like, I was just thinking about this lady, and, like, I wasn't even overwhelmed like this in the moment, but just thinking about it is crazy, because all God wants to do is, like, take off the burden so you can, like, be light, so you can be life, so you can be a blessing to the person around you. And this woman was telling me that she's been praying really hard for a new job because she's been struggling, and she got this new job. And so she said it was like the first thing that God was doing in her life. And then she was like, so it's crazy that you know about my foot. I had gotten a word of knowledge and got to pray for her, because she's like, I feel like God, this is like the momentum of God is moving in my life now. And I don't even know if this woman was a believer. I was just talking to her about it. And I was thinking, like, man, we have this opportunity to bless people everywhere we go, that we would have good success in all things and just make an impact. And so many other different things happened on Friday. I was with somebody else somewhere else in New Jersey. That was in Belleville. I think it was in East Orange later. And I was just walking around with this woman and doing my job. And but towards the end of it, she was just like, there's something different about you. I can tell the way you, like in your spirit, the way you talk and the way you act, and you've been so patient. And I forget, she said something about God, and I was like, oh yeah, I'm a big fan of Jesus. And she was like, that's so amazing. She's like, I never see young people, especially men your age, who say things like that or who act like that. Which ought not to be the case, by the way. But it was so powerful. She was so blessed. I asked her if I could pray for her. She actually gave me $10 randomly. Like, you've been such a blessing. I want to bless you. Which technically, it's complicated. But it was just like, okay. She actually wanted to buy me breakfast, but I can't stop working. I have appointments to get to. But so it was just like, it was crazy, you know? And I was thinking, like, when I asked to pray for her, because I didn't have any, like, specific words or anything. She was just like, I want, like, endurance to run the race and to keep following after Jesus. And I was thinking, like, everybody wants that same thing. Some people know it, some people don't. But, like, to just be a blessing to the world around them, to really follow after God and find him and see what he's all about and what he's doing and how we can be a part of it. And let's take our part, you know. Let's go after Jesus and do what we can and make an impact in the world around us. This word on Friday in Ephesians kept coming up, and it was like, when the Son of Man returns, will he really find faith? And I was thinking about, like, man, like, we can redeem the time because the days are evil. Like, we can redeem time. Like, man has been given the privilege and the ability to redeem time. And I don't even know what that means, but it sounds like incredible. But I get it slightly, like, why, like, the time in your day has been selected so that you would redeem it with the truth of God, with the power of God, with the love of God. And so I was thinking, like, man, if God were to return right now after, like, all these amazing things happen, like, he would find me redeeming the time that he's given me. And I was thinking, like, what if he found everybody redeeming the time? Or like, what can, how far can we actually take that? You know, like, how great of impact can we have with our lives? And what kind of blessing can we really be? We had, actually, Dylan was over at my house this weekend, and we had randomly put on a Todd White teaching, and it was on for like maybe less than a minute. But he had said something about like John G. Lake and William Branham, which were like great revivalists in the 1900s. And he was just talking about like the Spirit of God is like available. Like, what are we doing with it? And he had mentioned like two amazing things. I don't remember what he said about John G. Lake, but he said like William Branham. And if you've ever read the book God's Generals, it's in there. That William Branham used to get like words of knowledge so accurate where like it would be undeniable. Like you either deny God right on the spot and say like, I can't do it, or you have to surrender everything. Because he'd be like, people in the back of the crowd of thousands of people, he'd be like, John, stand up. Your name is this. Your address is this. Your family's names are this. You've lived here for this long. You have this, this, and this wrong in your body, and God's going to heal you right now. Where it was like undeniable. Like accept it and give your life to God, or get out, you know, that kind of thing. And not in a bad way, but just like, it's over. There's no escape kind of thing. And Todd was just saying, like, it's available for everybody. So like, what are you doing with that? And I was thinking about that, like, man, we have this incredible opportunity, not just to do like cool things, but to like partner with God, to have like a really awesome relationship with God, to see God move to in our lives and other lives. Like it says, if you take this and you run with it, not only will your entire life change, but everyone around you who hears you and who sees your life, their life is going to change in the same way. And so, like, let's run with this thing. Let's go after it. Let's take it personal and develop a great relationship with Jesus and see what's available for our lives, what's possible with our yes. You know, like, we had just honored the leaders, and John Michael said, like, their yes is so powerful. Like, what about our yes, your individual yes every day? What about your yes? Like, what are you doing with it? You know, like, we walk by people every single day, and God's thinking about them. And that doesn't mean you have to, like, drop everything, but, like, set your mind on things above, you know? Because if you don't, it's not that you're disappointing God or anything like that, because he loves you. He can't be disappointed, but you're only selling yourself short of why you're here and what's possible with your life. You know, like, you're only selling yourself short of maybe seeing a miracle or just being a blessing in the slightest way, which winds up encouraging you. I find more often I wind up more encouraged and more blessed by reaching out than the person who gets touched by God does. And it's crazy to even say that, but literally, like, when I step out and I see somebody healed, it winds up like I'm the one who walks away in tears, and that person is just, you know, like, it's incredible. It really does something to you, because it comes through humility. It humbles you, like, wow, God really wanted to use me or flow through me or love through me, you know? And it's just amazing. And so in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, and I'll probably end with this because it's supposed to be short today because it's pastor appreciation and they got to get going, actually. But is he who is joined with the Lord is one spirit with him. And he's actually talking about, like, immorality at that point. But if you take that scripture and think about, like, we've been joined to God, so we're one spirit with God. Two things, like marriage, I just got married. Two things have now become one. It's locked. If you take that and then think about who the Spirit of the Lord is, it says in 1 Timothy in the beginning, like chapter 1, I think it is, or maybe it's 2 Timothy 1, but it says, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, love, and the sound mind of Jesus. So you're one spirit with the spirit of power. You're one spirit with the spirit of love. You're one spirit with the spirit of the sound mind of Jesus Christ. You're one spirit with the spirit of grace. The Bible refers to the spirit of the Lord, like the spirit of holiness. So many different ways, and you're one spirit with that spirit. What does that mean for your life? It kind of gets rid of all excuses. Like, well, I've never seen anybody get out of a wheelchair. Well, you're one spirit with the spirit of power. So there's no, you know, like, go after it. Like, well, I've never walked at this level of holiness or righteousness. Well, you're one spirit with that spirit. So it kind of gets rid of, like, the yeah buts and forces you to either grit your teeth and be like, this is for me, or shy away. You know, and it's a scripture that I've often thought about is like Hebrews 10, where it says like, we are not those who draw back to perdition, but those who believe unto the salvation of our souls. Like we're going to stick our teeth, we're going to grit our teeth, and we're going to stick our feet dead in the ground until this thing comes to pass. We're not going to budge down, budge back, or step back and squander it, but we're going to hold fast to it even when it looks like nothing's happening, or even when it looks like everything around us is going wrong and this is never going to come to pass. We're going to hold fast the word of life. And so I just challenge you guys, man, like I said in the beginning, and just thinking about it, it's crazy. Just squeeze Jesus. Literally just pressure him until you get him. Take something that you love, and maybe you haven't seen it, and just push it to the limit. Push it to the limit. I would just challenge every one of you to do that as you go throughout your day. Like, whatever you want to see or whatever you want to experience from God, just take the scripture and be like, God, I'm not like giving up on this scripture, or I'm not pushing it to the side or moving on to another scripture until this one is my life. And just go and do it with the whole Bible, but just one at a time, because it's really hard to do more than one at a time. You get overwhelmed and... yeah, you end up like me. You don't want that. But serious, just take it and run with it and go after it and bank your life on it. Put your finances on it. Put everything you have. Put all of it on the perfection that's in God, that his trustworthiness, his faithfulness, because he has a 100% success rate. And keep that in mind. It's powerful. And like every aspect of it, in what you're doing and what you're thinking and who you're sowing into and where you're working, like everywhere you go, God wants to move through you, and him moving through you, there's 100% success rate of what he wants to do happening. There's 100% chance of it going amazing. There's 100% chance of the next person you lay your hands on, they get healed. There's 100% chance of the next time you seek the Lord, you find him. There's 100% chance the next time that you call on the Holy Spirit that he lands on top of you and you see something for something totally new.